Hello everyone. Good. Plenty of people turning up. I'll give a couple more minutes before we start. So everybody joins. Hello, everybody who's joining. Good to see you all here.
Great, thank you very much. I've got it, I will click that button. And before we get into the topic today, just a couple of announcements from me, and then we will quickly, after I've quickly said those, we will go over to Peter for the anticipated topic. So first of all, something exciting coming up for you is news to come. I just want to plant the seed and let you all know that this is coming, but we will be providing a monthly membership. And this monthly membership is going to give you access to a mixture of interactive webinars and also ongoing monthly point holding sessions. If you are not a point holding student, then it's nothing to worry about. You're still able to pay a monthly membership to have access to more in-depth Q&As and interactive webinars workshops that Peter will be providing. So more information about that to come. If there's something that you would like to see as part of a monthly membership, then please do let us know. We would really welcome your feedback and your ideas so that we can make sure that we consider those and possibly interact them. That's not the word I'm looking for, but incorporate them. Thank you very much. So yeah, do let us know. And obviously this will evolve over time, but initially it's going to be, as I say, a mixture of interactive webinars and ongoing point holding sessions. And there will be different memberships that you can choose from. So seed planted there with that one. The next thing that I would like to bring your attention to, many of you may have seen already, is that we have the Manifestation Center point holding course coming up later on this month, 17th, 18th and 19th of September. So if you are a point holding student and you have attended any of Peter's point holding courses, whether they be online or in person, and whether it be just 1 week or 3 weeks, it really doesn't matter, then you're welcome to join us to heal and seal your Manifestation Center. And there has been a video going around where I have demonstrated where you can test to see if you've got a leaky Manifestation Center. So if you do have a leaky Manifestation Center, if energy is leaking from this concentration of a chakra, this concentrated place of energies, then it's going to disrupt, or it's going to stop you from manifesting all of your dreams. Peter, did you want to say anything more about this course before I move on?
You've said it. Basically, it is about clearing the Manifestation Center. It's all about manifestation, getting this right so you can manifest everything you want quickly. We'll be looking at how the rules about speeded up manifestation, what makes it accelerate so you can actually do it fast. Mm-hmm. And basically all the things that need to come together to make it work. You will learn about co-creation and resonance.
And as I say, this will be going across the days of 17th, 18th and 19th of September. More information, I'm just going to put the link here. So if you want to go to the website and have a look at more information about this, then you can. I'd also ask admin, please, could you provide the link to the leaky manifestation video as well? So if anyone wants to test theirs, they can do that today or over the weekend. And Peter, someone is asking, what is the Manifestation Center called?
the Manifestation Center. I never had a name for it. It's not very well known. It was only the monks up on the White Cloud Monastery on Mount Kailash where you were doing this work, so it's quite rare. I hadn't seen it anywhere else, so there's no other name for it.
Yes. So you'll hear say Manifestation Center a lot. So there's no fancy Sanskrit name for that one. Okay, wonderful. And one final thing, and then we'll get over to Peter, is we want to hear from you. If you find these Q&As of any benefit, then we would really, really welcome and value just one or two lines from you to let us know what you think about these Q&As, because we're looking for testimonials to encourage some more wonderful people to join us on these Q&As. So once again, and I'll talk about this at the end, but I'm just very quickly going to pop this form here in the chat. So if you value the Q&As, please give us a one-liner testimonial, two lines if you like, letting us know how you value these Q&As so that we can encourage more people to come and join us. We would really, really be grateful for that. To answer your question, Lee, where is the Manifestation Center course based? It's all online. Everything is online. It's self-point holding. So you just do it from the comfort of your own home across those 3 days. All of the information is on the website. Have a look at that. If you've got any more questions after that, then you can either pop them in the chat or you can email and we will let you know. Or, of course, there's the MeWe group. And if you are not a member of the MeWe group, then please do join us in the Magic Students. Okay, enough from me. You're not here to talk to me. Let's move over to Peter. And as always, please put your questions in the chat as we go through. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about crisis. So I spoke before about crisis and mentioned that it's about the cracks in your reality in which the soul can speak. And it doesn't have to be there if you have moments of enchantment. What I talk about now is why it continues. And what we need to understand, the biggest thing you need to understand, is that each creation can have many layers. And we get to this point where we're hitting big creations we want to discreate, and you'll find many layers to them. And so it takes time, obviously, to get one layer after another. When you understand the discreation process, you go through each emotion, one after the other, until you go out to the end where you can see the whole creation and let it go, and it all discreates. But you can't do it until you get to that edge. We've got to the end of that creation. What will happen, there are layers. These can involve many emotions. And that includes emotions like, this is taking too long and I'll never get there. The panic, the frustration, these are all parts of past memories, basically. We've all been there. There will be times we've been overwhelmed. There will be times, especially when you're a child, everything takes too long. All those times you think it's never gonna happen, you're never gonna get there. These are all layers which get in the way of us creating what we want, because these are past creations that stood in place. When we're on the edge of a big creation, or a big change, we're just creating some big problem and creating a new reality. Obviously, we're going to go through the depth of these problems, depth of our creation, all its limitations. So expect to have these different emotions. The emotion that it'll never happen, I can't do it. I'm going to run out of time, getting frustrated, panicking, getting fearful of the future, losing all expectation. A lot of people try and drug these emotions, but actually, no. Remember, to discreate anything, you have to be willing to feel. The main key to this continued crisis is that you're going through layers. In our world, we tend to expect everything to be within a boxed amount of time. You know, you do your day's work and 5 o'clock, you want to go home. And actually, life isn't like that. It might take longer than that, than the time you set aside for it. It's not fixed this way. Because people actually expect things with a certain time. They're not in flow with the natural cycle. Everything in nature takes time. And there are certain cycles, like for instance, an egg takes 21 days to hatch. No amount of like jumping up and down and foot tapping and being impatient will make it will produce chicks a day sooner. Everything takes its time. This doesn't happen by the 15th day, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It happens at the right time. Same with the process of creation and discreation. Because there's so many layers, when you get to the end, the whole thing goes. So one of the biggest problems to hold people back is this expectation of having to do things within a certain time. People almost make conditions. Like people saying in their healing, I want it to finish by this time or I'm going to give up. That might take a little bit longer. One of the biggest frustrations you see in the world is people giving up on that 11th hour just before they get the result. This is something you've got to watch for, because quite often it's that last hurdle that's the kind of difficult one. You've gone through so many layers, you're getting that final frustration. Remember how that all the times things took too long, all the time you were impatient, all the times you made these rules that you're not going to have because you dig your heels and refuse to move. These are all childhood patterns coming up. And this is a common thing when people get to the 11th hour, you up just before they get to the finishing line. So instead of actually making these demands, they have to finish by a certain time or you're going to give up. You have to allow each process to take as long as it takes. Now, it can be quicker by welcoming it quicker, that's all. The only thing that makes it faster, of course, apart from the manifestation center, to make everything faster, is your willingness to feel. If you try and demand that something has to go, it doesn't. Welcoming means you accept it as it is now. Doesn't mean you wish it would go away soon. In that attitude, you're not welcoming it. So every emotion you welcome, there's no demand, it's just welcoming it. It will pass. Not because you want it to go away, but because you're welcoming it. This is the way people have turned things around. The emotions don't go away when you try and force them away, when you don't like them, when you judge them, when you wish they wouldn't feel them. That's what keeps them in place, because you're making it too real. If you go back to the mental experiment long before, where you hold something in your hand, it could be like my mobile phone, you know, I squeeze it in my hand, and after anything you're holding in your hand for a while, you squeeze it tightly. After a while, your knuckles are turning white. You can't tell where your hand ends and the object begins. That's identification. You've lost the boundary. This is what you're doing with emotions. You're holding on to emotion. The more you focus on that emotion when to go away, the more it's identified. It's, you're holding intention, therefore it won't go away. You first have to let go of the grip. When something is now loose in your hand, you feel a difference. It's not you. Then you can drop it. Now, first, I ask you that non resistance, you're just allowing it to be there, feeling it separate from you. So, with every emotion, you know, even when you get to that later level, so you know, you think it's taking too long. Remember times you felt that, especially during your childhood? Don't remember all that one, are we there yet? When is this going to happen? You know, you're always waiting. I want it to happen now. You're being impatient. Now, this happens as a child because in a child's reality, he wants to finish everything right then and there before it can go on to something else. That is not true in adult reality. Like in your job, for instance, when it's finished, you've got the sack, you're fired. You expect to carry on the next day, don't you? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Adult reality is that continuation. Children want to be finished. So these childhood patterns there, I want this to be done now. It's very much stuck in the past, very much stuck in your childhood. It's not what's going to shift things. In order to actually be in this new age, you know, basically to understand that you are the creator of reality, you do have to be in the adult, because the adult is responsible for its creation. A child can dream, but it takes the adult to make those dreams come true. So it's good to keep the dreams of the child, but you also need to learn the responsibility and the patience. Patience has become like almost like a bad word amongst children, like the youth. They don't want to wait all the time, you see. But that's actually one of the gifts of the artisan. Any art, whether it's painting, music, writing, anything creative, requires patience. And this is our magic too, is patience, it's an art. When we're creating our reality and actually just creating what we don't want, crafting our life all the time, is an art. It requires patience. You enjoy the art as you go along, you have concentration. This constant childish idea, I want to finish now, is basically what's creating the crisis, because that's you resisting. You're no longer in that flow where you're just creating. But this creation requires you to keep welcoming. Welcome each layer, then the next layer, until you get right to the end. When you get to the end, the whole thing discreates. So be aware of at what point you stop welcoming and start resisting again. That's when the ego is kicking back in. If we are learning that, you know, we create our own reality, we can discreate what we don't want just by welcoming it, because it's not real anyway, it's illusion. It gets easy. What keeps coming in is almost things assert their realness again, the seriousness around it. It's now a real problem, if it won't go away. This will never go away because I've made it too real. Now think about that one. The things you make real are things you never change. A lot of people are good at manifestation, manifesting the small things, like a parking space at the right spot, and all kinds of wonderful things. But as soon they've got a real problem, they can't do anything about it. And different people make different things real. Some people the money's real. Some people the job's real. Some people the relationship's real. Some people the health is real. The one that you make real is the one you get stuck on. Because now it's becoming real, you get very serious about it. You don't carry on welcoming it and just letting it go. In order to actually be able to welcome anything, let go, you have to decide what is real then. Because we need something real, obviously, don't we? You don't want to be thinking this is all a dream for nothing. But basically, what this dream is about is it's a playground for our spirituality. So spirituality is what's important. Our connection with the higher self, our recognition that we are God. And we're playing with creation, creating and discreating. if we actually look at what we're learning in our connection with the higher self, that intimacy with the source, their intimacy with the goddess, this is what's real. If there is no intimacy there, then this life is going to be too real. So that's the next thing you look at, intimacy with source, with the goddess, with the higher self. Does your spirituality really sizzle? If not, then you have to stop and look at this. Well, what is it about? And it often comes back to overcoming the ego again. In order to actually look at your connection to the higher self and your goddess, so on, you have to look at why you want it. And the first thing you have to get rid of is all the ego needs. You don't do it because it's going to make you better than somebody else, because it's going to give you control over somebody else. This is all the ego needs. If you can welcome those and let those go until you come back to the pure agenda, that you're willing to be loved. That's what the connection to the higher self is about. Letting that love in. See, when that is real, then you know everything else is pale and stick, and it's important that. That's why everything is less real. It's easy then to exchange anything. If you're dependent on this illusion, because there's nothing else, you get stuck in the realness of it, you can't change it. To have power over this illusion does require you to be more spiritually based by considering what is real for you. Why are you doing this? What is it you want deep down? So when there's crisis, it's because you got stuck in this process. You got stuck at the layer and saying, I've had enough now, I want this to go now. That's a childish impatience. Instead of actually going through all the layers till you get there. Remember, a big thing is like an art. We make it this wonderful creation. We want to change the world really seriously now. Get rid of all of the kind of crap that's in the way, all the corruption, all the oppression, all the limitation, all the poverty, all the kind of stuff that's oppressed us. It's huge change. So this is an art. It's a project that we focused on in our process. We need to kind of be creative in this and actually enjoy the journey. Each layer we welcome, you see something in the world changing. Have you noticed how many people are focusing on the negative things and how many people are noticing the positive? That there are already shifts happening all over the place. That there's a light at the end of the tunnel. We need to look at these positives to inspire us, to keep us going, rather than just thinking of bits of the stuck. Because again, this is the childish ego saying, I'm not going to get there, I'm stuck, I'm fed up with this. Well, even being fed up is okay, you can welcome that. These two is childhood patterns. You know, as a child, they had lots of frustration. So because you weren't in control of your life. Your parents controlled everything, then teachers at school controlled everything. You were not in control. Life was very frustrating. We tend to forget that. But that's what keeps coming up. We feel not in control. And actually, when you really look now, you know, who is control then? Your parents aren't there anymore because you're earning your own living. You're deciding what you want to do. You're calling the shots. You're crafting your own life. But what you have to realize is that your thoughts, your imagination, your expectation, all these things are part of that creation. This is what has to be directed to create your reality. We do need to keep this focused then. We trust in the bigger picture we want to create. And rather than give up, it doesn't happen at once. Realize a big project is taking time. It's a work of art. We welcome every layer. If I'm discreating, emotions have to come up. So it's good if you feel frustrated. It's good if you feel hopeless. These are layers. When you felt it, it's gone. You can move on to the next one. Eventually, those layers gone. You've got that situation discreates. You can create what you want. Then you see life changing miraculously. So it's really worth going through all this to get to the end result. It's part of the journey. It's part of the game we play. It's part of that work of art. So the main message I want to give you in handling crisis, especially ongoing crisis, is to be patient. Welcome every layer. Realize a lot of the project has many layers. Only when you get to the end does the whole thing discreate. You can't discreate part of a creation. You have to welcome it all till you get to the end. When you see, you get that point when you've gone through the layers of emotion, you see the whole thing from the outside. You realize, this isn't me, this is my creation. You're no longer in it, no longer judging, no longer in the emotion. You've seen the whole thing, this is my creation. I can let it go, it discreates. So you're going to go through the emotions to get there, you see. So the biggest hurdle here is being willing to feel your emotions. Every one of them. They're not you, they're just emotions. They're all coming from your past. The frustration, the impatience, the hopelessness, the feelings of lack of self-worth, the powerlessness, all these things. These are all past memories. When you go through those and release them, they're gone. You become more and more powerful, more and more able to create your reality. So it's all a bit of crisis, remember. Crisis is just simply the downside of enchantment. The things we think are so real in this life need to be broken so we can see truth. The routines which box us in is the cracks in the routine in which the soul speaks to us. There should be happening through moments of enchantment. If we don't let them in, the crisis happens. When it's continued crisis, because we're making this all far too real. It's all our creation. We can change it all, but you have to keep going. Enjoy the whole journey. Keep welcoming everything one layer after another until you've got there. Be aware it can take time, and that's okay. You've got to actually enjoy your work of art. Appreciate it. Okay, that's all I need to say about crisis this time, but are there any more questions about it?
Yeah, so I will go over to the preset questions first. Presets, the submitted questions first. Sorry, I was in the middle of typing a response to somebody here on the call. Okay, you finished a little bit sooner than I anticipated, Peter. Okay, and if you have any questions based on anything that Peter has just said, then please do submit those into the chat now. Preeti, so if you are taking homeopathy for emotions, are you not experiencing them? Does the homeopathy remedy counteract your emotions?
Oh, no, no. Homeopathy is known to create a healing crisis. This is like the first healing system we know of which discusses the healing crisis. You take homeopathic remedies, throw things out. This is where you start reversing the process, where orthodox medicine tends to suppress symptoms. You take homeopathy and it all comes out again. You throw out all the old suppression, including emotions. Yes, you do have emotions coming up after a remedy. If it's high potency, when that goes back into the depth of your constitution, it brings all kinds of things out. It's not suppressing, but it's helping you change. The emotion comes out and passes it, so it makes this process kind of more natural in a way. It almost happens without you thinking about it. But it is known amongst homeopaths that, you know, the remedy will open the door. It is up to you to step through that door. If people don't have to go through the process, they often drop themselves. So, you know, it isn't always that simple. It's still not a case of giving you a remedy and you're cured. No, it starts a process. And you've got to kind of be willing to go through that process. This is why so many are healing up coming afterwards. Homeopathy was a good start, but it hasn't done everything. People need to understand their process.
Do we feel the emotion by going through the emotion, crying, etc., and welcoming it at the same time?
Oh, yes. See, whenever you focus on a goal, all the secondaries come up. Even if you're focusing on the positive, all your past memories that get in the way come up. All the past creations reasserting themselves. See, then you welcome them. Yes, you'll feel emotion, so you feel grief, you feel you can cry. The difference is with the welcome it is that you're no longer identifying. You realize, no, this isn't me. There's no judgment of it. It's just an emotion. Therefore, I'll feel it. There's almost like it's a new kind of curiosity, a new innocence about exploring life. Here's an emotion, I'll feel this. It's okay. I can feel grief, I can cry. Nothing wrong with this. So when you simply welcome the emotion, it passes very quickly because you're not kind of locking it in place. So just welcome everything that comes, basically. You're not trying to do anything else apart from welcoming whatever you feel. You're not trying to get anywhere else, not trying to make it change. Just welcome. Whatever you feel, you feel.
Would it be a good idea then to do the entire disc creation process whilst being in the Syrian triangle?
You can, but you might be trying to concentrate on too many things at once. So what the Syrian triangle will do will make it less real. That'll make it easier. Because when you're no longer making the situation too serious, you can actually see it as your creation. Easy, okay, here's my creation. I'll feel it, let it go, it's gone. It's easy because it's less real, you see. The Syrian triangle will simply make it less real. If you do that before disc creating, then it becomes easy. You can, if you go into the Syrian triangle and just carry on from there and do the manifestation, it'll work, yes, but you're not concentrating on being in the Syrian triangle, you see. Problem there is you might forget to come out again. That's why I like to have some boundaries here. Go in, first make it less real, and then do the exercise of disc creation. Having some boundaries in your work keeps it clear.
Question, one of the pre-ended questions. I'm getting better at discreating my stuff, but I seem to be constantly surrounded by chaos and crisis going on with my family members. I welcome my feelings around it, but it all feels out of control. I would appreciate some advice on this, please.
Great, feel out of control. This is a very, very valid emotion as well. So one of the big problems when people learn to create, they want to be in control. Sounds logical in a way, doesn't it? I'm trying to create reality, I'll be in control of what I'm creating. But actually, no, you first have to discreate, therefore you're going to discreate being out of control. You do that by welcoming it. Now, obviously, if you look, this is where the shadow work comes in handy as well, because, you know, you see all these people around you, objects of shadow, they won't go away until you embrace that. They're tricking all kinds of feelings, and this is actually very useful. We even find this in point holding courses. We learn to work with this. If somebody's pressing a button, so you welcome that because it's a trigger for you. They're only pressing buttons because there's something to be pressed. The ones closest to you in family, you've been brought up with them. You're going to share stuff. They're going to be linked very much by your past emotions because you've been known them for so long. Therefore, they are going to trigger things. I know it can be overwhelming. This is too much to handle in one go. And that's the basic theme is the overwhelm, but that too is emotion. But actually, there's great potential for change there. They're the ones who are tricking all those past emotions because they've been part of it all the way along. So when you get into that family and feel a crisis, welcome it. It's what I'm talking about. You know, crisis there when you really want it to change now because you've had up of it, you don't want it to carry on going through the process. Now sit with your family as long as it takes to go through all those emotions. All the frustration, the lack of control because you can't do anything about them. But in the end, why do you want to do something about them? Can you just let them be who they are? The fact is, when you change, they'll change anyway. You won't change them while you're struggling with this. This is one question you can ask yourself while working the emotions, you know. Is it okay for them to be who they are? Is it okay for them to have that belief? Is it okay for them to have those feelings? If you can allow that, allow it to be okay, then half the problem's gone. At least left with your feelings. You look at your emotion, your response to these things, and welcome and let them go. And suddenly, it's okay. They can be like that. It's not a problem. You let them be who they are. You who you are. It doesn't change you. It's about boundary, knowing who you are. They're not a threat to you.
Claudia is asking, well, does that mean then that someone who you don't want to be in your life will leave if I discreate the feelings around them?
Oh, yes. It does happen. You know, the thing is, you never know how. This is not about control. Once I've discreated that issue that's in part of my creation, so you might have had the same issue with somebody else before. You know, this is a pattern I'm creating with different people. I get rid of that creation. I stop creating it. Then that kind of person isn't in my life anymore. Not only does that one go, but I don't have anybody else replacing them in that pattern. The pattern ends. Depending on how they leave, it might be that you do get fed up and shout them and they go away and have a fight and it's over. Some of us need that kind of catharsis. A lot of times just get bored of this game and go away. They might just have there's something of themselves to do somewhere else. You never know how it's going to change, but it will go from your life.
Can fasting, raw food or water help with, I think they mean water fast, help bring up stored emotions to deal with?
Oh, it does, because it's cleansing. First of all, you know, fasting will bring up your kind of food issues, obviously, your survival issues. Think of how much you're getting enough and all those things. So that automatically brings those things up. But because you're cleansing, it allows the body to change. Although we generally talk about needing certain nutrients in the process of change, believe it or not, fasting increases the nutrient concentration. How? Because you're losing weight faster than you're losing nutrients. The body knows what to preserve, what needs to get rid of first. So although you might lose some nutrients when fasting, you've lost more weight than you've lost nutrients. So the concentration of nutrients in the body is higher, which means there's more potential for healing and change. Also, energy isn't going to digestion. It can go into transformation instead. Digestion takes a lot of energy. So fasting releases a lot of energy for during the transformation process. Releases nutrients for that as well. Fasting does trigger things, yes.
What nutrients are useful for change?
Basically, all the minerals and enzymes. Remember, we're complex beings. It's not just one thing. We need all the whole range of nutrients, all the trace minerals, and of course, enzymes. Now, enzyme nutrition is the most complex of them all. There's actually 1,300 known enzymes that the body needs, plus many more reactions the body they can see which are requiring enzyme, but I don't understand what enzyme is yet. So you can't really control every enzyme you're taking, but if you eat raw food, you get a whole range of enzymes, that sort of thing. Eating raw food produces enzymes. If it's organic, there'll be lots of minerals in it because it's, the soil is actually, the plant is actually feeding, absorbing more minerals from soil because it hasn't got petrochemicals blocking that. So in organic soil, the fungi, the yeast cells and things, the yeast cells around the root transforms the minerals in the soil into organic form the plant can use. But using artificial fertilizers and things, the plant cannot absorb the minerals so fast. And of course, any living thing is full of enzymes. When you cook them, you destroy those enzymes. If you've got raw food, you've got all your fresh juices and that, you get loads of minerals and enzymes, you get everything you need. It's hard to actually give you a list of all the minerals and enzymes you need because there's so many of them. just make sure you've got a good range of raw foods and juices. Enzyme supplements are useful, multivitamin supplements are useful, but you need all of them.
I'm wondering if there are any circumstances where juice fast or water fast is not recommended, i.e. for someone who trains Muay Thai 4 or 5 times a week.
Obviously, yeah. You need energy then, don't you?
Yeah.
You might want to stop doing Muay Thai for a few days while you fast. Things, yeah. Fasting isn't just about food, it's a whole process. You don't do things that way you're fasting. See, in fasting, you want the energy to go into healing and transformation process. It doesn't want to go into other things. It doesn't want to go into digestion, it doesn't want to go into Muay Thai. Doesn't go into anything else that takes a lot of energy. It wants to go into your transformation.
That's a very good point. So just a reminder to everybody, I'm asking the questions that were submitted via email prior to the call, and then I will get onto the ones in the chat, all of those that are related to crisis, and then we will go on to crisis non-related questions. So going on to our next question then, my immediate problem is handling anxiety, which seems to be disproportionate, though originally triggered by recent past events, it seems to be ongoing. I'm hoping to resolve it dealing with the external trigger, but I remain puzzled by the virulence of the feeling. Sorry, I don't know that word. I have taken action by giving myself a bit of space, which has triggered a reaction in my girlfriend, who is rather insecure.
Okay, well, the anxiety, rather than look at the triggers, look at where it's coming from originally. You said it comes from a past, you know, or even a recent traumatic event. The emotion from there to go into, that's what's stuck. This is the past creation that's trying to surface. So this is great. You have to go back to past emotions of that, whatever traumatic event started it. So rather than actually deal with the triggers now, forget the triggers, they're illusory. You deal with the feeling of what happened in the past. You go into it, you feel it, you experience it. Remember, instead of actually just reacting and fighting it, welcome it. I know nobody wants to welcome a horrible trauma, but actually it's a memory now. That's okay, it's different. Remember, welcoming is a memory, you're only welcoming feelings, not welcoming the abuse or anything like that. So you sit there, you go to the memory, you welcome everything you feel. You let yourself go to this injury and anxiety. This is part of a past trauma. It's a feeling. Like any feeling, when you've felt it, it passes. If you're fighting it, it doesn't pass. This is what happens in anxiety. People are still fighting it. They want it to go away. Go back into the trauma, feel it fully. When you finish feeling all of that trauma, all your anxiety and everything else came up, it passes, it's gone forever. Then nothing triggers it anymore because it's not there.
How does one manage one's healing crisis when in a family or surrounded by friends and we have been conditioned to not show these things in public?
That's when you need some time alone or time with people to understand. That's why it's useful to connect in groups this way. When you can go to healing crisis and other people understanding because they're going to do it too, you can share there. It does be quite useful to take some time away from the normal reality sometimes because it's like there's no space to grow there. Trouble is, the reason why you need this is because the world doesn't allow time for growth. Everything is so fixed. You have to do this and not show this and not show that. And so nobody has a chance to heal and transform. Of course, then when you're transforming, it's going to be uncomfortable for those around you because they're seeing you change. They're seeing you behaving differently outside the box. Sometimes you then have to actually either not worry about being in that box and just do what you like and people that you don't care what people think about it, or else you simply take some time away from them. Sometimes it affects amongst family and friends. Quite often they are linked to your patterns too. There might be something to resolve them anyway, so that it will come up. When those emotions come up, they might not like it, but they know something is going to be resolved. It might be cathartic, but something's been shifting there. So the thing is, in any situation, allow your feelings. If you can't find time alone, then maybe dealing with those people is part of it. Or if you like to show your feelings in front of these people, they're going to have to get used to it. And they'll change too. Either they'll get out of the way because they don't like it, then they'll give you that space. See, sometimes a person won't give you space when you ask for it, but when you're doing stuff they don't like, then they give you space. So just carry on. Welcome your feelings anyway. But when you can, get space for it.
Is welcoming your emotions the same as observing them but not interacting them?
Not quite. You start by observing, but actually you are not... You are participating, that's a thing. You're not participating there, but in a way the way you think it's real. It's almost like when you go to watch a film, of course you get emotionally involved, don't you? You're watching there, you're not really in it, but you're really in it emotionally. It's like that. You're looking at your emotions, you welcome them, you really feel it. You can't not be involved. The observation on its own without interaction is cold. How can it be emotion then? You can't really observe an emotion without feeling it. We're not making it real. We're not getting caught up in it and letting it control us, but we're feeling it fully. But as an observer, realize I'm this being, this feeling isn't me, but I'm feeling it. It's the boundary that's different. I know this isn't me, it's my feeling. I'm not the anger, I'm not the fear, I'm feeling the anger. And this way, we need to look at how people identify with things. A lot of people say things like, I'm an angry person. No, it's not who you are. You're not always angry. Some people seem to be angry all the time, but no, actually not always. They like to be angry a lot, so therefore they identify with it, but it's not who you are. Rather than say, I'm an angry person. No, I'm feeling angry. This is me, I'm not the angry person. There's an emotion called angry and I'm feeling it. So I feel it to fall, I feel really right. And that doesn't mean I get up and kill somebody, I'm just feeling it. When I feel it really allows myself to feel it, it passes. So there is an interaction. It's not cold. You start by observing it, but then you're also welcoming it. The welcoming is a bit more than observing. That's when you're kind of really letting yourself feel.
So you recommend raw food for point holding, but is it okay to do raw food long term?
Oh, yes, because it's good for you. Thing is, what makes it uncomfortable is it produces a healing crisis. When you look at this healing crisis thing, remember the layers we go through, you start with the unconscious, then apathy and grief. What happens if people start on raw food? First of all, they feel unconscious, or I've got no energy, feel working at all, you know, they feel like ungrounded. Next thing, up to apathy, I've got no energy. Then they get to the emotion, the grief, oh, it makes me too emotional. No, this is all healing crisis because it's transforming you. But actually, how can it not be good for you? And it's not lacking anything. It's got more than the cooked food because it's got these enzymes. So of course, it's going to be good for you long term, but it's going to produce transformation. It's going to keep you evolving and growing. And what will happen, the more you raise your vibration, the more you want more food because it suits your vibration. Low energy food that you don't want anymore because they don't suit you.
So I have a question leading on from that then. So I eat raw food every day, mm-hmm. but I also have cooked food. Not every day, but I do mix it with cooked food. So yeah, is that still the same? That's almost like being on a raw long-term diet?
Mostly, but obviously, you know, there's different layers here and it all depends what you're up to. So when you're training, you want more energy. When you're transforming, you might have more raw food when you're doing a course or something and you take your extra minerals because for that time you know you're doing more transformation. So of course you have choice how you do this. When you're really going for the real intense transformation, you really concentrate on the diet more. Otherwise you find what works in your life in general. You want to be healthy, you want to help you keep being healthy and changing, but also you want to give you the energy you need to do what you do.
I'm just wondering if the constant salad and fresh fruit is the reason why I feel so shit. Anyway. Yeah, moving on to the next question. Continuous healing crisis. While doing the disc creation process, how do we integrate the Antardhana Astra attunement? Would we launch it at the very beginning before we start going through the emotion?
Yes, you see, the Antardhana won't take the post away. It just facilitates it, makes it easier, more smooth, more likely to happen. So what happens, you first look at when you disc create, use the Astra on it and then start welcoming because you will go through the process. It'll happen more elegantly and quicker this way. The Astra is a tool which actually sets up this creation process in motion. So therefore, it'll flow more. You know, the feelings will keep coming up and keep welcoming until it's over.
And Claudia's just saying that it's quite difficult to keep up raw food in the middle of winter in the UK. So I suppose my question was actually quite relevant to a few people on the call. Can you mix it with...
No, I was running courses, you know, in England, even in winter. With one place where it wasn't really well heated. And, you know, in winter there, I was there in like my shirt. I was on raw food. And I was warm with everybody else who said that we had cooked food. That is when you're high enzymes, your body's more efficient in maintaining its heat. Don't think you need cooked food to make you warm. It's not true.
I'm just wondering if Veronica's comment was about the previous Astra. I have found circular breathing, no pauses, helps me out of my head and brings up the emotion to be felt.
Well, that's a basic principle of rebirthing. The breathing is one method of doing that. We're going to use that as well. Yeah. It's because you're actually flushing prana through the system, so it's actually bringing things out because there's movement.
Yes. do excuse me while I just scroll back up again. I can do the discreation process for myself, but the person who has affected me also affected my children. Is there any way that I can help them? I think she's referring to her children.
Oh, you do, simply because they're part of your creation. You haven't finished the discreation process and still looking at how you feel about what's affected your children. This is all your feelings too, how you feel about them, what's been done to them. This is all your feelings too. So apart from actually discreating the problem for yourself, you look at the whole. This is your family, your children. This is your creation. You go into all the feelings around what's happened to them as well. They're very much closely linked to you still. They're not on their own. Therefore, they will be affected by your process. Also, you can do it for another person. You do what we call rocking. You become the other person. You feel what it's like to be them. You start feeling their feelings, and you can actually discredit it for them. It's easy for children because you are close to them. But first of all, look at your feelings around them. This is part of your process.
I'm quickly going back to the diet. Is plant-based diet better than including meat, fish, and eggs?
Better is like a strange word here, because you know there isn't really better than in the world, because it's like each person is so individual, there's so many different principles involved here. In general, plants have higher energy because in a womb we don't have to photosynthesize. All our nutrients originally come from plants. If another animal is eating that plant, first we get the animal, it's from the second hand. Because energy comes from the sun. Plants take the minerals, take the sunlight, they produce food. That is the pure highest level of food. If an animal eats it, it's taken up some of the energy in its own growth. The food we get from the animal is therefore second hand. And apart from that, when you look at the kind of protein, the things like eggs and meat, these are all acid producing. They make your blood more acidic. It's been a cleansing process, and you'd be slightly alkaline. A lot of toxins there because of the acidity of the body. You get toxic through too much renewable protein. Plant proteins are maybe not as concentrated, but they're actually much better for us. They're in a balance which we can digest easily. Quite often, the heavy protein we don't even digest properly. It's way more toxins because it's decaying inside us. Meat, in particular, because the meat, look at carnivores, they're much shorter intestine. Because in our intestine, the meat is going to decay in that process because it shouldn't be there that long. There's no roughage. It's just like it creates toxins, basically. It's like it's decaying in us. We are made to eat plants. Look at our teeth, these are omnivore teeth. These are kind of grinding teeth, they're not canines. Our intestine is long, like a herbivore. So we adapted to eating plants. People ate meat because that's what it was when they were in a place where it's cold and there's not much growing. It's like almost a survival need. And you can adapt to that, be very adaptable, that's the thing. Actually, the plant foods are the higher quality. Sometimes you need more protein though, and it's like might not enough protein in the raw food that's around you. It all depends what plants you can get, you see. Luckily in the world today, we can get things from all over the world. There's no shortage of anything. So as long as you know how to balance the diet, you can have enough nutrients in a plant form. You can sprout your seeds and you can soak your nuts, and these are all perfect proteins. And things like bee pollen are really high in all the amino acids. All these superfoods, they're extremely rich. There's some possibilities of having great nutrition there.
But the barbecue chicken here is just so nice. How do you know if you should... Sorry, I'm just asking these questions because it's still on the diet topic. So how do you know if you should do keto diet or not, or should you listen to your body?
The keto diet, again, this is what quite extreme. In the natural world, you're not thinking about mustn't have these carbohydrates and all like that. And it's like, it's useful for people who are fat because, you start burning off fat rather than carbohydrate, it changes your nature. But actually in the wild, this would seem a certain amount of carbohydrate in your food. The best thing is to go for natural food because it's balanced. You won't get fat eating a natural diet because you've got the roughage, you've got the vitamins, you've got everything. People get fat from eating junk, basically. Trying to change another form of unhealthy diet that's got less carbohydrate and more fat isn't really dealing with a real issue here. If you're living a natural diet, so you've got natural exercise, and everything else is natural, you're healthy. We can't do it all just through diet without looking at the whole. What they're trying to do with a keto diet is trying to burn off fat more by having less, taking away the carbohydrates, so you have to burn fat. But it's not really a natural state to be in, because normally there would be a certain amount of carbohydrates in your diet, unless, of course, you're an Eskimo and you're living on like walrus meat and fish all the time, like this high protein, high fat. So it all depends on where you are. Also, that happens in cold places because the fats produce more heat. If it's somewhere hot, it's not going to be healthy for you. I wouldn't do it here, for instance. It's too hot. The fruit is much more cooling.
Lulu, I'm not quite sure what you mean by your question. I've just got sprouting question mark. Do you want to know?
Yeah. Is that diet sprouting is good because basically what happens when you sprout the seed, you release all its enzymes. You see, when a seed in its stored form contains an enzyme inhibitor, that's what keeps it stable, not growing, stable, doesn't change. Otherwise, it go off, wouldn't it? Once you soak it to the point of germination, it's releasing its enzyme content. So sprouts are really high in enzymes. That's the most concentrated source of nutrients. Yeah, sprouts are really good.
And what about pulses, please? I assume that because you need to cook those, right?
No, they need to be sprouted.
Oh.
Sprout them.
Okay. Do some plant seeds need to be soaked and broken down for of their protective enzymes?
Seeds should be. I said all seeds and nuts have an enzyme inhibitor. They should soak your nuts before you eat them. 24 hours is enough, but large ones like a Brazil nut needs 36 hours. Change the water so it doesn't go off. So you just keep it in the water, change it a few times, and then it's all ready to eat. It's got lots of enzymes in it.
Mm. And Magdalena is saying, she's confirming that the energy is much higher from plants and fruits because of the protein breaking down into glucose. Yeah, be interested to see what your study is about, Magdalena. Thank you very much. Okay, so I do believe that that is all of the crisis-related questions. Oh, which proteins do you recommend?
I said it's balance of proteins, you know, from nature. Seeds, nuts, sprouts.
No, sorry, I do have one other question, Chantelle's question, which I knew I had to go back to. I understand that the important thing is not to identify from the appearing emotions and welcome them, remaining in the consciousness, which I really am. For that, we need to be identified with the observer rather than the observed, the emotions. Mm-hmm. Is it, however, essential to distinguish the different causes which leads to emotions? And how can I distinguish? For example, besides triggers and past experiences, there are entities which attack us. My friend recommends that when these attacks come from evil entities, to ignore and keep a thought as meditation. What would you recommend and how to handle these causes and how?
First of all, when you welcome emotions, you're not thinking logically. If they're not thinking of causes, they come at their own time. Each emotion as you go to go to the next when you get to cause. But also, I wouldn't ignore anything simply because you're in the process of welcoming. You can't choose to ignore something because you're blocking the process. You're judging, first of all, by saying, I don't want to feel that. Even an entity, you can only live there because there's a certain thing that allows to live, which is unconsciousness that's holding the aura. There's going to be unconsciousness. When you welcome, that entity comes out too. There's going to be feelings around it. It's part of your process. And also, when you were doing this work using the Chandali, that's going to clear the entities out. They come out as cold winds. They come out when you clear the unconsciousness, when you go numb, when you go floaty, or the unconscious feelings, and the entities come out. It's part of the process. You do it by feeling, not by ignoring. To close the hole, you have to feel the unconsciousness. You have to feel that numbness and floatiness. You feel all the anesthetics coming out. There might be an emotion associated with that that's feeding on. When you welcome those, the entity comes out too. So we don't ignore anything. We welcome everything.
Miriam makes a very good point about the impatience around needing to heal immediately and needing to push through this crisis and get this done and get that done. For example, she's talking about completing the Darkness and Dragon course, which she doesn't have the energy to do. And I know that I too have felt such pressure to complete things in a certain time frame, which causes this impatience and then anxiety or stress or panic. But welcoming the feelings around that. I mean, is there something that you could say to that, Peter, around if we feel that need to, or that impatience and we're not doing things quick enough?
First of all, take away the time frame. That's your problem. You're not facing a certain time, you're just doing it as it comes. If there's no fixed time you're going to do it by, is you're in a flow. It's when you have to say, I want to fix it this time, you start putting pressure for yourself. You get frustrated, you see things not going fast enough because you've set a time. Don't set times. Just try to do it, flow with it, take it as long as it takes. Remember, it's a process. It's not just about learning from A to B. It's not linear. You're going through the process of each stage. You go through this meditation. You might spend a lot of time in this one because there's lots of emotions coming up, lots of transformation going on. So you take your time with each step. When you're ready, you move to the next step. It's a process. There's no fixed time. So the answer is to take away the time frame. There is none.
Try saying to that to clients.
Well, they can.
Yeah. Okay, so one final question, then I move on to the non-related, because we do need to move on. Does yawning during these processes mean anything other than tiredness coming up?
What was that again?
Does yawning mean anything during these processes?
Oh, that's partly unconscious and apathy, yeah. It happens quite often to the point, oh, you might have a phase of just yawning because you're going through past apathy and unconsciousness, you know. It's not being trying to wake up because you've been asleep for so long. Yeah, it does happen.
But I always yawn during Muay Thai. Why do I yawn during Muay Thai?
Then you're tired.
All right, okay. thank you so much. A wonderful link has just been put in the chat around more information on diet and crisis. So that's really helpful, and an article that's been written by Peter. So thank you very much, everyone, for those questions coming in. I'm now going to go on to some other topic questions that have been submitted for those people who were unable to join us on the call today. So let me just copy this one. Bear with me. Paste. Okay, so we're going on to our most favorite topic. Can you please, COVID vaccinations, can you please talk about how to work magically to stop the digital identity currency banking planned technocratic takeover connected to the vaccination passports? Is working with the shadow and doing the Karma Kabbah enough to bring an end to this? Can the dark elves protect us from this evil? And would you be able to advise us practically as well whether it won't be safe to keep money in the bank anymore? Nah. Should it all be transferred into silver or gold or cryptocurrency? What's the best currency to use? Phase out. Yeah.
Well, first of all, cryptocurrency isn't safe either. Don't bother with that one. Gold is safe, yes. But actually, it can't all crash completely because the system is going to have to break something for people to live. So don't worry about that one too much. Don't think about the fears. Think about the bigger picture, what we're going to change. The shadow work and the Karma Kabbah, yes, are good tools, but also we have to use everything else. Basic discreation. Remember, we're in a crisis. This is what I'm talking about. This whole COVID thing and all the else they're doing around it is all linked together. The COVID is part of the excuse to actually get these controls in and crash the economy and all those things. It's all the same thing, really. This is what we are discreating. This is the process we're in. So we keep going with all the work. You do the magic, create what you want. Use a Karma Kabbah to destroy what you know to be evil. You do your shadow work to get rid of what's reflecting in you. You carry on discreating where you can feel the emotions around it. And you keep your vision. We are changing the world. This thing is failing. It's coming up all over the place if you look. Lots of people are being tried for various reasons for going against human rights. There's Nuremberg trials going on. SS is actually taking governments to court for these illegal lockdowns, and the WHO is being tried as well. India wants to execute them for genocide. There's various countries that are against them, so they're limited where they can go. They're going to be on trial. It's all coming out. We're not there yet. That's why we're still here. So we still got work to do, but it's moving. So we don't rest on the laurels, think it's all happening. No, we keep going until it's done. But we're on a process. All the work we've done is working. So, you know, enjoy that and keep going. Don't get frustrated over it. But if you do, welcome that too. But actually just realize it is changing. The work we're doing is working. So carry on everything you do. Karma Kabbah, visualize the outcome, welcoming everything and releasing, discreating, doing your shadow work. It's all working.
Yes, using it as motivation.
Well, the motivation is because you want to see change and you're fed up of all this shit that's going on.
Seeing the change, seeing that as motivation to carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got super excited. Yeah, I got super excited when I saw chocolate in Big C the other day. That meant that something was moving. We were receiving deliveries on the island again. Okay. Yes, this is a very interesting question. I'd like to ask you about whether I can visit a non-holistic dentist. Is it safe to receive the needles? Can I be sure that there's nothing like what's in the vaccine in their needles? Should x-rays be avoided no matter what? Or can they be neutralised with the radium attunement and homeopathy?
Oh, yeah, that one. The radiation beauty will stop them, the x-rays from harming you. That's not a problem. But actually, the main thing about dentists is they often have a little microchip in the needle. They've been paid to do that. So you're being chipped. So that's the thing you would watch for. So you have to think of this dentist. How does he feel? Does he seem a dodgy one? Does he seem very clear and compassionate? And so I've seen different dentists in the past. Interesting enough, I found a lot of ones who came from India. Indian dentists seem to be compassionate and honest. A lot of the other ones into it for money. You can see they're just after money all the time, and they'll do things like put the chips and everything to get extra money. So you really have to suss your tent and sell them to the other field. They're too materialistic. After money, they're probably putting chips in you.
So anesthesia is obviously going to have the same thing, because that was an add-on to the same question. If they're having to take an anesthetic.
But you're generally doing dental work, because it hurts. But that's the thing. You have to press your points afterwards and get all the anesthesia out. But actually, you can heal teeth. Same as you heal anything else. They're not really fixed. People think there's a bone that doesn't change. No, your bones change, your teeth change. They're linked to the kidney. In Chinese medicine, you treat tooth decay for the kidney, Moodian. You can heal teeth. Look at it as part of the whole.
Mm-hmm. And Preeti is saying that she had cancer treatment last year. How can she figure out if she has been chipped or not through the cancer treatment?
What kind of treatment? Do you mean chemotherapy?
No, she's not. She's just going to let us know what that is. Mm-hmm. And while she's doing that, so no rush there, Preeti. Take your time. You can answer. Oh, antibody treatment. She already has.
Antibody. Oh, yeah. Well, that can be healed, but yes, through homeopathy. It's not, of course, antibodies. This stuff is not good for you, but it's like, you know, you can be treated homeopathically. You can clear out the system. No problem. They didn't need to put chips in that. No.
So moving, because you were talking about the teeth and kidneys. So yeah. I'm needing to do a lot of point holding as the kidneys are very bad. So related. As kidneys are very bad, is it fine to do all of my chinnamusti sadhana whilst holding my points? Or should I have an hour of sadhana each day where I'm sitting at my altar? I often do them together as kidneys in crisis. And I think it can work if there is space with no mantras as well, just to keep deep into the emotion.
Exactly. You have to actually be ready to welcome. Think about doing a sadhana or point holding. If you too concentrate the mantra, you won't give yourself space to do anything else. It's good to do the mantras, but if something comes up, go into it. Don't let the mantras distract you. So you can come and go with the mantras, you know. They can be part of it, because it's like chinnamusti, like vajrayogini, similar energy base to the fire. You'll get it moving. But then when something's coming up, make sure you're not being distracted. Make sure you welcome it. You can do mantras at the same time sometimes if you're good at it, but see how you feel. There's no exact answer to this. The important thing is that you're not avoiding anything, that you keep welcoming those feelings.
I'm going back over to the chips. We started something here. What is the function of the chips implanted by dentists, and what will it do to the patients?
There's several kinds. You can actually look these up in some of the Japanese electronics firms. They've actually got the chips patented there, and you can read about them. A lot of several things. First of all, it's a tracking. They want everybody to actually have a certain chip to say who they are. So every time you go into a shop, supermarket, they already know who you are. They can read everything about you, because from your chip, they know who you are, what you do, what job is, what kind of person you are, whether you've got criminal record, all those things, because you know you've been marked. But also there's a certain amount of mind control in it. This is all preparing for what they're doing in the vaccine now through the graphene oxide, which is preparing you to be like an AI interface. It means they can actually get thoughts into you, as if you connect to the internet and put thoughts into your head. They can also kill you. Chips can be released poison if they don't like you. They can switch you off and you die. This way, the one elite can actually look at who everybody and keep them in control and kill people they don't like. Also, they bond to the nervous system, so they can change how you feel. You can become dependent on them, so you can't remove them.
And how do we remove these chips if they are present?
The Kundalini will burn them out. If you're failing that, there are other things that you can do, like these high-frequency devices. I've seen these used for skincare. You know, you get this little tube which glows when you put it, because it puts high frequency through you. You put over that where the chip is in the body, it applies it. You feel it go, it burns, it gets painful, and it goes. So I've done this before for people when I was looking at these chips. You get little frequency detectors to detect the chips. When you find the area, you put the old high frequency device on it and apply it.
So I was with that sounds dreadful. I was with someone who has received the vaccine yesterday and today, and we actually did the coin test, and the coins and even a fork did actually stick to their arm. Is this anything to do with these said chips?
But it's not the chip, that's the graphene, because it actually picks up electricity.
Okay.
They're turning into an AI interface, basically. So you can connect the internet and people can control you, put the waves and do everything. So it is more kind of electromagnetic. And there's all metal powders in the vaccine as well. It's not the chips, it's actually the other nanotechnology. There's metal powders, there's the graphene, you know, it's making like a computer.
Mm-hmm. Claudia would like some clarification on which high-frequency device are you referring to, please?
It was used for skincare, for beauty and so on. I don't know what it was called, but it was a little thing which has a little glass tube on it. And you put it on your skin to make your nice skin nice, and because it enlivens it just by putting high frequency in it. And it kind of glows because it's got this current going through this kind of vacuum. So I can't even what they're called, but you look them up. They're simply called, they're kind of beauty devices for skincare.
And Laura Jane would like to know, is Cambo useful for removing the things?
Cambo is good for releasing all kinds of toxins, but I don't think it's been tested for this in particular. It's going to help because it gets the body to purge itself in many ways. Thing about any kind of cleansing, the body knows how to cleanse itself. Using things which help it, which support the body in its own process rather than actually take the ability away from the body. It's the difference with orthodox medicine, they want the chemistry to do it for you rather than your body do it, because nature is different. Your body knows how to heal itself. It needs a little bit of help sometimes and support. Cambo simply boosts your own immune system, so you throw things out. So it's going to be helpful for anything.
Can you just repeat that last sentence? It was a little bit fast, sorry.
Then a Cambo will simply stimulate your own body to purge itself. It means it'll help with anything. It's not specific to a particular toxin. You're getting your body to throw out what it doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
So they have heavy metals and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. Horrible thing. It's not my favourite. Should we be wary of having blood tests?
What for?
We were assuming about having a needle put in you.
Yeah, I know. It's not the end of the world. You know, it's what they put in you is what to worry about more.
So it's not on the needle, the technology.
They're putting out for the needle. They're injecting in. You know, otherwise the chip's not going to go the right way, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So taking blood out is not going to help the chip go in. It flows the opposite direction.
Lulu was asking, did you refer to the electromagnetic pulsar by Bob Beck?
I don't know that one in particular. Mm-hmm. Probably it'll do the same thing. You can put many of these things device around. Anything which was already high frequency electrical current into the body is going to fry the chips, basically.
Sorry, I just saw red wine and vodka written, so I'm really attracted to this one. Someone told me recently about a test for nanobots. Swilling your mouth with red wine. What, no swallowing? Swilling your mouth with red wine, spitting onto a white plate, then sprinkling vodka or gin on it and seeing how it reacts. Nanobots move to try to escape. Would that work?
Oh, yeah, you can see them.
What?
Yeah, you see the nanoparticles moving.
Oh, gosh. Okay. What a waste.
Well, you know, the other one is for COVID, you know, because you can't taste on COVID, can you? So you drink some wine now, and then if you can taste it, you haven't got COVID. And they do recommend retesting often, don't they?
I could definitely taste the wine, so that's all good. Is the high-frequency device the light pulse device used for removing unwanted hair? I remember that treatment, yeah.
That'll do it as well, because it's got a high-frequency current, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not the one I was thinking of, but it'll do it too.
I have COVID symptoms. I did not take a COVID test. I overcame it. Should I do an antibody test? If I do, will the government use my DNA?
You don't need an antibody test. The body can heal it, you know. First of all, this COVID is a scam. No COVID virus has actually been isolated. Let me tell you something what they did at some of the tests at universities. They wanted to test the little PCR test to see what virus is actually there. All they found was influenza A and influenza B. Of all what's going on here, why can't I find the other virus? So they asked the CDC for a sample. They said, we haven't got one. COVID-19 has to be isolated. So therefore, the tests are not for COVID-19 because there isn't one. There's no isolated virus. The vaccine is obviously not right either because they haven't isolated the virus. So just realize there is no COVID-19. You've had a cold or some symptom of flu, whatever it was, and the body throws out like any other cold or flu. Whatever herbs and remedies you used have worked, it's done. Don't worry about antibodies. This is all a scam. The main thing which destroys him is fear. It's the fear that's doing the damage. Don't believe in a lie.
Going back to the dentist and the needles, even if they seem trustworthy, will the dentist know if there's microchips in the needles?
Oh, yeah. They're paid to do it. It's not in all dental equipment. It's like the chipping companies pay them to do it.
Okay. So I'm going to move on now to the other non-related questions that have been put in the chat. So please bear with me slightly whilst I just scroll up. In the meantime, admin, could I please ask you to put in the chat to everybody the link to the upcoming Manifestation Center course and also the link to the leaky Manifestation Center testing so you can see if your Manifestation Center is leaking or not. And then, so anyone who is interested, and somebody did ask a question in a private chat to me, if you've not done point holding before, then how can you get to do this Manifestation Center test, this course? And the simple answer to that, there you go. So people didn't hear that, we crossed over.
I said, do the Ultimate Healing course first, that gives you all the preparation for any of these other advanced courses, because you need the basics.
Yes. Yes, so we will be scheduling another online ultimate healing course soon for later in the year. And so once you've completed the ultimate healing, then you are set up to do any of the advanced point holding courses that we then run. So your prerequisite is to register your interest and to attend the ultimate healing online.
Well, you can do anytime anyway, because it's all there, because we'll be able to questions on MeWe anyway, and then you can run it in your own time because all the empowerments are there. So you can actually take the part one anytime anyway. So you don't have to wait for anything.
Good.
We might do another promotion, but it's like you can still start now. It's not a problem. And I'll always be there on MeWe to answer your questions, and we do more Q&As on it when we need to.
Okay, so moving back to the questions. My big question, please. Scam stream propaganda launched a fresh season against the unjabbed. What should our strategy be in working with hate attacks? Welcoming them?
Kill them all. Basically, yes, it is about, first of all, going through your emotions around it. Same time, you've got to realize there's something out there that people are being affected by these jabs. See, something about it is almost like this nanotechnology is causing people to react to somebody who's different from them. They can pick it up in the energy field, but it's like they're not the same. They'll turn hostile against the unvaccinated because they're different. This is part of what's been designed to do. This is how they're getting rid of everybody who's not in their agenda. Basically, you deactivate it. You discreate it. So what's happening, these people are being influenced like an animal mind, like a monkey, by frequencies. Using psionics, you can change the minds because they're too open to be changed, basically. Part of it is done through 5G. That's why they've activated again. They put out messages. Now people got the vaccine, they can start the mind control on them. Well, since that's our subject, mind control, you can take control of that too. If all these people around you seem to be aggressive towards you, you can set up psionic charts and change them. You can neutralize their aggression. You can put different thoughts into them.
Can Peter explain a little bit about the global crisis and how he sees things changing, the impact of positive energies that have anchored onto the planet, and he will know these energies, and I can see how they are coming for the children and how to block this?
Well, it's already changing anyway. So we've worked on this, and I've noticed, for instance, that even in England, where it's getting most threatening, they've all, the authorities, the medical authorities there have said no to forced vaccination of children. Now they have to have parental consent. They can't do this anymore. There's new laws, and the government has to listen to them because it's the main authorities, the main control bodies on vaccination.
The government have rejected it.
They can't, because this is the main. People are going to react to this because all the government says no. People see now the government is completely corrupt because the main control bodies of medicine have said no. They're not listening to their experts. This is going to go far. You know, this is going to start creating court cases against the government. They're going to be taken to court. They're going to be trialed for genocide, all kinds of things. Nuremberg trials coming up. We're getting close. Secondly, another thing that's happened is that in France, they've already won this case to prove that things like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and a few other remedies are viable treatments for COVID. Now, the vaccine was only given the emergency status. that runs out on 20th October. Because now there are cures that can no longer work. 20th of October, vaccinations stop. Just hold out till then, basically. Fight it until then. They're pushing last minute to try and get as many as they can. If you hold until then, it's over. We can speed it up.
I read it.
We can carry on doing truth spells here and there, and overcoming the corruption. We can discredit it there. We can crumble the cabal them. We can still change further, but actually it is happening.
So I read in The Guardian today an online article that the government have rejected their statement and that they're still going to move forward with vaccinating the 12 to 15-year-olds anyway.
Well, they got to have parental consent. They can push ahead with that, but, you know, if once the kind of main governing bodies have said no, they can't actually force vaccinate children. They're going to have to parental consent. So at least the parents can who don't want the vaccine know their children are safe. They can say no and they can take the children out of school, whatever, you know.
You've just mentioned October. There's a couple of people confused. Could you please clarify why?
This is when the emergency status of the vaccine runs out. That's when it's licensed until. Remember, this vaccine has not been given FDA approval. It was only given emergency use approval. That was only licensed until 20th of October. Now they've actually got viable treatments for COVID. The emergency status is over. It runs out 20th of October. It doesn't have FDA approval. It only has emergency use. When there's no longer emergency use there, it can't be used.
Claudia is saying that children over 12 don't need parental consent in the UK.
No, but the children themselves have to consent. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They can't force them. That's the thing.
Lawyers for Liberty will send an email to the school if you're worried your child will be injected without your consent. Oh, thank you, Veronica. That's very useful. Do you have a link or something, Veronica? That would be really handy for those people that are concerned. Canada is having an election on September the 20th. Is there a point in voting?
Who is? Who's having the election?
Oh, sorry. I thought that was the answer. There is. Canada. Canada is having an election on September the 20th.
Well, we thinking about voting. You should never vote anyway. I'll tell you why. Governments are registered corporations. In any corporation, every 5 years, you've got to vote for the CEO. What you're voting for is the CEO of the corporation. It does not change company policy. What happens then in the government, so you've got two possible CEOs. When you vote them in, you've now contracted with that government as a corporation, so they have the right to govern you. What they want is people to vote. It doesn't care which one you vote for in the end, because they're not really that different. It's the same company, same corporation. What they do is to play these games, so you hate one like the other, so somebody starts fighting over it and they have to vote for somebody. Somebody votes for one of them, the government is winning. If nobody voted, the government couldn't govern you. Because you're contracted with them, it's a business. It's not a democracy. All these laws they can overhold over us because we've contracted with them.
There's a few things in the chat saying it's only Pfizer that runs out on the 20th, and that actually they've just had an extension.
No, see, that's a con as well. You see what the Pfizer have done? They've actually put in a drug with a slightly different name that doesn't even exist. So the approval is on something that doesn't even exist. They're trying to con people into thinking they've got approval, they haven't. It's not one vaccine that's been running out, it's the whole concept of having a vaccine to emergency use when they're not approved. Therefore, it applies to all of them. It's not really about banning the vaccines, it's about the fact that it's only used for emergency use. Once they've got actually other viable treatments, so you can't use it anymore because it's only for emergency use. And so far, there have been 5 viable treatments passed.
And Lee is saying that she's noticing those that are medicated seem to be less vibrant and they have slight redding of the face above the eyebrows and along the nose line. I too have also, I've noticed that they have a loss of memory, fogginess of the mind. I'm seeing that in many people.
Lots of them, yes, they've been poisoned. And there's so many things happening. There's a poison in the body of the graphene. There's the kind of closing down the crown chakra, so there's no spiritual connection. There's an inflammation of tissues of the heart and brain, and also sterilization because of graphene collects in the reproductive organs. It's doing many things that are damaging, and slowly it's killing people.
Can you, I'm just going to ask this, can you break the contract you've made after you've agreed to receive a job?
Oh, you can always break a contract, yes. And you have to forgive yourself and clear that shit out of you. Use the herbs and the kind of N-acetylcysteine and all the other things which cleanse you.
I just want to go back up to some of the previous asked questions that were put in at the beginning of the call. So we've asked that one about did you respond to the okay, next question. What if you keep encountering feeders or vampires that force fear and hopelessness into you? How do you properly shield yourself and your home from that?
First of all, they can only get into weak points if you go into what that is. You always start by the discreation process. You can discreate vampires as well by going to the whole emotion around them. If you deal with that emotion, they can't feed you anymore because you know they're not there, they're not part of your reality. So you do have to do a basic work to discreate them. Also, you can use something like Chinamati mantras. Chinamati destroys vampiric energy, burns the cords off. Use the chandali. Also, there are anti-vampire charms you deal with on the fairy course.
I don't think that's in the fairy course, is it?
One of the charms, I think, was an anti-vampire spell. If not, we can always add it later. I can stick it
in. I don't think. Are you talking about the Homa Homa Haya Ha Kali Kali Ya?
No, they're not that one. There's a simple charm you make with a wild garlic roots and a soot and so on.
Okay, forgive me. Yeah, I'm thinking about something completely different. Mm. Okay, just scrolling through. Bear with me, everyone. I think we've asked all of those ones. Sorry. Do you talk amongst yourselves? Oh, no, you can't. there's a question here that I know needs asking. Someone has asked me twice about it. Something about pain in the teeth.
What's pain in the teeth?
Yeah, sorry. Oh, I just had a question here about the manifestation course. For the manifesting course, is it possible to watch Friday's session and jump into the live session Saturday and Sunday?
Well, what we'll try and do is actually get the recorded so you can watch it straight afterwards if you miss it. But you need to do that because they're sequential. There's 5 different points doing one after the other. If you miss one, you're not going to stay in the whole process. So what I'll say is that we're going to record it, put it straight up. So if you missed the actual online one, then actually try and watch it afterwards before you join in the next day.
So just to clarify, each session, there's 5 sessions. Each session has to be done in order. So if you miss the Friday afternoon session, it will be recorded and you could do it by yourself Friday night, but you have to do that before the Saturday morning session. If you are unavailable for the Saturday morning session, then there's no opportunity for you to catch up before the Saturday afternoon. So that's not possible. So hopefully that's understandable to everyone. So there's room for a tiny little bit of flexibility, but those 5 sessions have to be done in sequence. Mm. What are the tests picking up on and what is killing the people dying from COVID?
Nobody dies of COVID. If you look at the actual death figures, not just worst about COVID, it's like this last year has actually been one of the lowest death rates in the last 20 years. That's pretty good for a pandemic, isn't it? So every death they said is COVID, they simply put COVID for the cause of death or anything, even with people died of accidents or anything else. So these death figures of COVID are false. Nobody dies of COVID any more than died of any other flu. You always get a few, but this is actually milder than any flu we've ever had. A lot of people dying of the vaccine, though, that's quite different. The vaccine is poison. Some people die after the vaccine. Very, very few have actually died from COVID, and it's actually less than you have in any season of flu.
I saw someone submit something here, more of a comment, and I've also heard this from people that I know, that those who have contracted COVID have said that it is dreadful and there is definitely something going on. So it's not like a cold and it's not like flu. It's something unlike they've ever experienced before.
There's several things happening, you see, not apart from the virus. Remember, they actually released the 5G at the same time, which actually stops you from absorbing oxygen. There's also other toxins put in the atmosphere. That's why these helicopters and things spraying all over the place. They're putting toxins out there, pathogens. They've actually made it worse. The COVID alone isn't doing it. It's a combination of things affecting people's breathing. And actually, interesting if you look at the 5G was first set up in Wuhan, and then the COVID came out very soon afterwards in Wuhan, and actually followed in the next place of 5G was set up in Italy. They had the next one, how that outbreak of COVID is followed the 5G. When you look at 5G, the 60 gigahertz frequency affects the outer shells of the electron, so the body can't absorb it. That's why you can't breathe.
Okay, we are coming to a close, so I'm sorry if we haven't got to your questions just yet. But there's one question that was asked a couple of times. Please, could you ask a question? Whether to endure painful dental work without needle of local anaesthetic, or do you just trust the dentist?
I wouldn't trust the dentist. What I would do is heal the teeth naturally. As I said, they can be healed. Mm. If you've got enough calcium, you keep the kidneys healthy and you keep them clean, teeth actually remineralize. Now, I'll tell you something I've discovered by actually a dentist in America. He was an old dentist, so he's not coming from any other New Age concept. But in what they used to do when they didn't have time to do a full root canal filling, they used to stick some lime in the bottom of the tooth and fill it top normally. Quick job sort of thing. We realized later when people came back, the bottom of the tooth had lime in it, had remineralized, it healed. And he was trying to figure out why this was. So all he did with his patients, while giving fillings, he got them to keep brushing their teeth all the time, keep them clean and take a load of calcium. And over a few months, all their teeth remineralized. They all healed. Now, is there anything else apart from calcium and keeping them clean? Now, when you look up Chinese medicine, how it's through the kidney meridian, you can actually heal them even faster. There are lots of things which can heal, help the teeth to heal. It can be healed naturally. You don't really need dentists.
A couple more questions regarding COVID and 5G, et cetera, because I have seen these and sorry, I haven't got to them before, but there's lots coming in. Why are people losing the sense of smell? I'm recovering and have had lost sense of smell.
Well, first of all, you do that with most colds and flu, don't you, for a while. A similar thing going on, what's happening now, people's weak immune systems are weakened further. Look at this whole progression of all these flus and pandemics throughout history. It seems to get worse each time because people's immune systems are getting weaker. There's always some pathogen, which only exists when when releasing toxins. It has been proven very thoroughly that viruses do not cause disease. They're a secondary part of the process. They only inhabit the toxins the body's releasing. Basically, most of these diseases are kind of an elimination process. Body's throwing out toxins, and those toxins then breed these viruses. Okay. What happened over time is because people keep taking these vaccines, weaken the immune system. Each infection gets worse than the last. They call it a more dangerous virus, but actually that's only changed because of the toxins in the body. There is no virus that causes disease. The body produces the disease first and the virus comes into it. It's the gradual weakening of the immune system that makes disease get worse with time.
Are we safe to touch people who have been vaccinated? Like, for example, there's a concern for, I really hope it's okay, through sweat and things.
Exactly. Well, yes, you can pick up both the spike proteins and the mRNA, but you can stop it. First of all, pine needle, that's one of the best things which disarms it. So if you want to touch people, put a pine needle all over yourself. Go out with pine needle if you want to touch somebody who's vaccinated so you don't pick up the spike proteins. Also, take things yourself to detoxify, like St. John's wort, comfrey, feverfew, ginkgo biloba. There are herbs which actually detoxify this stuff. So basically, going out amongst vaccinated people, make sure you're protected yourself by taking the right herbs.
Full lists are available in the MeWe group. There's lots of conversations about that. So that's all present there.
And on the blog and website as well.
Blogs on the website. Those who have been jabbed, will those jabbed always be affected by the jab they've received, or can they be cured?
Well, they can be cured, but it's going to take a lot of work. So you've got to have to remove the kind of nanotechnology. You've got to remove the graphene, which is poisonous. You have to deactivate the spike proteins. It's going to take a lot of different herbs and things to clear it. But of course, I've made the sonic plate, the DNA card for this job. It repairs the DNA and it then neutralizes the kind of nanotechnology. So you can use that.
When will the truth come out about COVID and vaccines in the way that most of the population who is under the influence of mass psychosis can see the truth?
Well, it's very difficult because the media is full of the lies. You never believe the media, and most people listen to the media. That's a problem. What's going to happen at some point, though, when it goes to Nuremberg trials, all the media that have spread the lie and we could also be part of this genocide, and they'll also be tried. But then that's when it has to come out, because the media itself is going to come down. It's going to be a big, it's going to be a big shock to many people, and it's not going to be pretty, because so many people have actually believed all this, and suddenly find out that all that's shattered, they're going to be in a crisis.
How, I'm not sure I understand this question. Please clarify. Please give some clarification if we don't get it. How to help the breathing after COVID and 5G? The breathing?
Well, we've talked about this before. The main thing you would want to do to neutralize the 5G is the tachyon. If you tachyonize everything, particularly at the high levels, you can tachyonize the whole house, because you have to tachyonize the atmosphere all around you. Because it's not so much affecting you, it's affecting the oxygen. The 5G is actually affecting the outer shell of the electron shell of the oxygen, so it can't be picked up by the hemoglobin. That's why you can't breathe properly. It's the oxygen needs healing. You can counteract the effect of 5G through tachyon. If you take the tachyon power up to the highest level and tachyonize your house or the buildings around, it'll clear the whole atmosphere around you. If you travel anywhere, you're going to tachyonize everywhere you go. Everywhere there's 5G, you're going to have to tachyonize everything.
How is the change in the Schumann resonance affecting us? It's supposed to be 7.8 hertz, but it's increasing and apparently peaked at over 100. Is this also affecting healing technologies such as wife machines that incorporate Schumann resonance?
It does. You see, this is a forced resonance done by the electromagnetic fields, so we're not in touch with the Earth's natural vibration anymore. What happens if people disconnect from the Earth's energy? They don't pick it up properly. First thing is affects the kidney meridian, because the first place chi rises through the body is through the bubbling well, which then rises up the kidney meridian, kidney one. So the kidney is first disrupted because it can't absorb energy from the earth. So we lose our grounding, we can disconnect from the earth, tend to have problems with the legs, lower legs and feet, kidney weak, low energy, because you're not picking up earth energy. Now, I've been working on a cure for that one, and I've mentioned it last time that we use the Eero rune, the human to extract the activation of the earth star chakra. So you can actually, what this is doing, actually building a root steep into the earth, so it bypasses that level where that's the force resonance exists. See, this human frequency isn't so much deep in the earth, it's something on the surface, to the orb of the earth where it interacts with the sun and the ionosphere and everything. So as you reach deep into the earth, you bypass what's been done on the surface. If you build those roots deeper, we bypass all that interference. At the moment, I haven't got the one to tune it for that, but I can do in the healing if anybody needs it. Can we do a whole shifting of the lower chakras to actually rebuild the roots stronger? And then that'll also heal the kidney.
Can you repeat that of the roots? I mean, sorry, Peter, you said that you've been working on a solution for this. Yeah, so are you going to be writing an article, or are you going to be putting this in the MeWe group? Or
I mentioned it somewhere on one of it. I can't remember where I put it, but I've written it somewhere in the MeWe group, and as well as on some of my blogs that we're working on, that how the earth resonance is what the problem is. Mm. I can cure it, but I haven't put it into one attunement yet. What I want to do is actually make it one attunement that you can have, so it's easy to pass on. At the moment, I have to do it individually. What I'll do is that I actually weave the roots much deeper, activate the earth star chakra, which is way below the feet, put in what could be Eero rune and a tumor to extract on the Welch tree. These empowerments actually build that roots much deeper into the earth. That way it bypasses the force resonance and you can pick up earth energy again. Because the problem here is that you're not picking up earth energy, you see. You're disconnected.
Yes, I do recall you putting it somewhere, but I can't remember where off the top of my head. Admin, I'm wondering if you know where Peter put that information.
I put it in the MeWe group.
Right, okay.
I have mentioned some of it in my past blogs about this disconnection, what things we can do about it. But obviously I've progressed since then, so we'll add something new soon. I'll put an attunement out when it's ready.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. So a couple of questions, some admin questions coming in. So just to clarify to you all, so those of you who are not part of the Magical Students MeWe group, you are a student, you have purchased one of Peter's courses, then you are more than welcome to come and join us in there, where we chat quite a bit about different things. The way to access this group is if you have purchased an online course, then from Teachable, then the link to join the MeWe group is actually available within your course content in the beginning introduction. Sections, you'll find the link there. If you have bought a course that is not on Teachable, then let us know in the chat and we'll give you the link directly, because this is only available to those people who have purchased a course. So a great question about the membership options that are coming up. Will the new subscription model include live group distance healing and regular empowerments? Well, I don't know. What a great recommendation.
Well, actually, there are all the distance empowerments, remember. There's, after the kind of basic Chandali empowerments, there were regular upgrades. So anybody who wants to join in with that, it's done by donation. That's all to be done separately. The empowerments are already going on. What we will be doing in these other monthly groups, we're going to be doing a point holding plus some kind of webinar where we'll take an hour and a half to 2 hours to actually do something with you. And that can vary according to what you need. We'll be creating new workshops along the way and we'll answer your questions and give you what you need, basically. That can grow as you go along. But the empowerments are going anyway. Look that one up. If you've done the Ultimate Healing course or Chandali Empowerments, you should have a link to it somewhere that you can actually sign up for the regular empowerments.
Great. And we'll get that link put in the chat for you as well. So that is done on a donation basis, on a monthly basis, where Peter gives out regular empowerments. And then the second part to this question is, will you continue the Fairy Magic and Dragon Path on Teachable with the Ritual and High Magic courses?
Yes, we are working on those gradually. See, at the moment, they're on the server, so we can buy them separately. We haven't put them into a Teachable format yet. We're kind of rehashing them as we go along. We will be gradually going up, yeah.
There is no rehashing going on. There is careful consideration and recreating of wonderful documented things. I don't rehash anything. Okay.
And a couple of patients that kind of thing, make it clearer, make it easy to follow.
Yes, yes. A couple of people have asked how to join tomorrow's call. So tomorrow is our private students call. So again, if you have purchased a course from Peter, then you are welcome to join us again and tomorrow we are talking about what does it mean to be a magician? So we will be having this discussion tomorrow and we will be, I'm sure, talking more about the current situation. And again, it's your opportunity to ask more in-depth questions. If you are a student, then you can find the access to this call, the link to this call in Teachable. So you will gain access to the Teachable course, which gives you the link to the course. So go on to Teachable, find the course that says Private Students Q&A, and the link will be in there for you. You're very welcome, Lulu. Thank you very much. Sorry, can't remember where Earthstar info was posted. Maybe a previous Q&A call. I can't remember either. So Peter, you might have to write something about that.
We spoke about the last Zoom meeting, whether it was. It might have been actually the point of it.
Wonderful. Thank you. The link to the tomorrow's call has just been posted. Not the link to join the call, but the link to where to find the link for tomorrow's call has just been posted. So I want to... because we are at 5:36 now. There's a couple more questions come in, but maybe if you are a student, you can bring them to our call tomorrow. I want to conclude just by reiterating just a couple of points that we said at the, are we staying in Thailand? Or are we coming back to the UK when the pandemic is over? We didn't come here to escape the pandemic. We came here to live a life that we love. We manifested living on a tropical island. We're not escaping anything. We're creating. We're manifesting. Did we invite all Voodoo students to the Mimi group? I don't know. I'm not sure. If you're a Voodoo student, were you invited to join the
meeting? Yeah, that's a course too. So, you know, whatever course you've done, you can join in. Because the reason I do this...
Just let us know.
...courses that actually ask more relevant questions, more, you know, this will be more advanced level, you see. Mm. I know what they're talking about, basically.
So just to reiterate those points I said then at the beginning of the call, just to let you know that membership subscriptions are coming. So keep your eyes peeled for those. Some exciting options there for you all, including ongoing point holding sessions. If you've not done point holding before, the link has been put in the chat. Join us for the Ultimate Healing course, which you can start at any time. And then if you have done any type of point holding whatsoever previously with Peter, then you are welcome to join our manifestation course on the 17th, 18th and 19th of September. Link has been put in the chat. If you want to test your manifestation center to see if it's leaking, the video has been put in the chat. And also, please, if you value these Q&As, we want to get as many people on here as possible to hear about Peter's work. So we would love a 1 or 2 line testimonial from you. Link is about to be put in the chat. please take 1 minute or 2 minutes to do that for us. That would be great. And then final thing, email azizshamanism@gmail.com for access to the MeWe group with proof of your purchase for the course. So if you can't find how to join us on MeWe and you have purchased a course, just email in and we will let you know. If your question has been answered, I'm sorry we've run out of time. Please join us on the student call tomorrow and ask it again. You can email it in and that way I'll ask your question first. Okay. Anything else, Peter?
No, that's it. Just until tomorrow.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day. Hope to see most of you tomorrow. And yes, enjoy. Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, see you all soon.